Good morning, everyone. Welcome to everyone in the room, everyone watching online, everyone watching later online. We're glad that you chose to spend this time with us. How'd you wake up this morning? Did you wake up good? Feeling good? Good. I woke up with a massive headache that started in the back of my neck and came up in here and then shot through into my forehead. And I woke up with a higher level of physical pain. I experienced some issues of chronic pain and woke up with a higher level of physical pain this morning and just kind of had that kind of feeling this morning. And then when I came in to see and be part of the interactions with a lot of you, to hear the laughter and the joy in your conversations and in your interactions with one another, you didn't get rid of my headache. And you haven't lessened my level of physical pain, but you have lifted my spirits. And so I want to say thank you for being an encouragement to me. And hopefully, as you've been an encouragement to me, you've been an encouragement to one another as well. So, well done. Thank you. And now on to the next thing. How many of you have ever had a squirrel moment? Yeah, see, I could tell almost right away that some of you have no idea if you had a squirrel moment because you have no idea what a squirrel moment is. So, let's watch this clip from the movie Up and see if it doesn't give us a little bit of an indication as to what a squirrel moment is.
Beep.
Hi there.
Did that dog just say hi there?
Oh, yes.
Bruh!
My name is Doug. I have just met you, and I love you. My master made me this collar. He is a good and smart master, and he made me this collar so that I may talk. Squirrel!
Now you know what a squirrel moment is. A squirrel moment is when you're in the middle of a conversation or a thought, and all of a sudden you get distracted by something completely different, and you're on to the next thing. So, how many of you have ever had a squirrel moment? Now, how many of you have ever had a squirrel moment in your relationship with one and with someone else? Where you're in the relationship, you're focused in the relationship, and all of a sudden something pops up and you're completely distracted from the relationship. How many of you ever had a relationship like that? Nobody sets out to have unhealthy relationships. Nobody sets out to get distracted in relationships. But we find ourselves there sometimes. Sometimes we find ourselves in an unhealthy relationship. Or sometimes we find ourselves in a relationship in which we're just completely and totally distracted. And sometimes the distractions are relational. Sometimes the distractions are circumstantial. For some people, the distraction is financial. We get so focused on money and stuff that we work all the time and we pursue the next thing. And before we know it, we've spent so much time working, pursuing the next thing, and it's cost at the expense of the health of our relationships. Sometimes for people, the distraction is just simple honesty. You know? It after all, there's no harm in a little white lie, right? And so sometimes we start out, nobody intends to start or build a relationship on a foundation of dishonesty. But have you ever known somebody that started into a relationship on a little white lie? And then before you know it, they had to tell a medium-sized lie to cover for the little white lie. And then they had to tell a really big lie to cover for the medium lie, to cover for the little white lie. And then before you know it, they're telling a pattern of big lies at the cost of the health of their relationship. Nobody ever sets out for this, but we get distracted. And we get distracted sometimes because we get tempted. And we get tempted by something else. And here's the thing. These kind of distractions, they rarely announce themselves. You know, it's not like something comes into the relationship that says, okay, I'm here to distract you from the health of your relationship. Usually they're more subtle. Usually they creep in. Sometimes they creep in over time. But rarely do they announce themselves, because if they announce themselves, we could be prepared for them. And we could be on guard against them. But that's not the way it works. When the first woman and man were tempted to eat of the fruit that God gave, God told them not to eat of, when they were distracted from their relationship with God by something else, the serpent didn't show up and go, "Hey, just so you know, I'm here to distract you from your relationship with God." If the serpent had done that, he would not have had a leg to stand on. You can catch up with that one on the way home. Come on, that's not bad, right? That's not original to me either. It was in the research I did, and I found it, and I stole it. But you can see what I did there, right? Yeah. So, again, if this is part of what compromises our relationships with one another, and ultimately can compromise our relationship with God, would we not be well served to be aware and to be on guard against those kind of things? Fortunately, God loves us enough to help us be on guard and to be prepared for when the distractions in relationship and the distractions in life come. He loves us enough to provide us a way out, which is exactly what the early church leader Paul wrote about in a letter that he wrote to the first century church in Corinth. And here's what Paul writes. He says, "If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall." Now, if your life's anything like mine, there are times where things are going along pretty smoothly, pretty well. And it is in those moments, it is in those seasons, when oftentimes it's easy to not think about the distractions and temptations. It's easy to think that everything's just going to continue with smooth sailing. You're not ever going to be tempted. You're not ever going to be distracted. But Paul says, in those moments, if you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. Now, Paul's intention here isn't to say we should live our lives always expecting the other shoe to drop. Anybody live like that? It's not necessarily a fun way to live. This is one of the things that I battle in my life, of battling where's the next thing going to come from, what's the next thing that's going to happen. And it's not a fun way to live. It actually be very stressful and all of that. So Paul isn't saying don't live life looking for the other shoe to fall all the time. He says live life in such a way that you know you can be distracted. Live life in such a way that you know you can be tempted and your attention can be taken off of this and put, just like the very first humans, it happened to them, it can happen to you. Live life to the fullest and focused and all of that, but just be aware, be attentive, that when you think everything's going along fine, don't be so prideful and don't be so arrogant to think that it can't happen to you. And then Paul goes on. He says, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. Now, this is just one of the realities of life. All of us are tempted in some way. All of us are distracted in some way. What Paul is saying here is not that you will face the same temptations that I face, or I will face the same temptations that you face, or you will face the same temptation that the person sitting next to you will face. What he's saying is you will all face temptations, though they will look differently. For some people, it's when they open their internet browser and an ad pops up, and they become tempted to click on the ad. Amanda, if you're looking for that buzz, it is very often just a phone that's too close to the soundboard, and the phone will cause it to buzz. It could maybe not be that, but it could be. It was a phone sitting very close to the soundboard, wasn't it? And you know why I know that? Because I've sat back there doing work with my phone there and heard it buzz and moved my phone and the buzz stopped. So, squirrel. And so you open up the internet browser, the ad pops up, and all of a sudden, you're tempted to click on a pop-up to go look at things on the internet that you probably shouldn't be looking at on the internet because they may compromise or jeopardize the health of your relationship. That's a temptation. It's a distraction. Now, I personally have never really struggled with, like, the drinking or drugs thing. Never had any desire, never had any interest in all of it. So I haven't really struggled with that, though some of you may have. So my temptation is different than the temptation that you experience, but we're both tempted, right? That's the point Paul's making. Now, I've never been tempted with the drugs and alcohol thing. But point me to the letter in Ephesians where Paul says, in your anger, do not sin. We may have another story. That maybe my anger has been a temptation to sin in and caused more damage in relationships than if I'd have gone and taken a drink. I'm not saying that's what I should do. Or point me to the passage where Jesus told the people not to worry. And you may have a little different story of temptation in my life. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. Here's the deal. We're going to be tempted. We're going to be distracted from relationship with one another and relationship with God. It's just the way the world works. And Paul says, don't be surprised. If things are going along smoothly, don't be surprised if something comes along and tempts you. Now, don't live waiting for the other shoe to fall, but just be ready. Because it happens. It happens to everybody. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. Everybody experiences it. You all have this in common. So be prepared. Be ready for it. And then Paul goes on to say, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. And then hold on right there for a second, because there's a couple things that are important in there. God is faithful. Go ahead and back up one slide, Amanda. And God is faithful. God is faithful. When the temptations come, God is constant. God is always there. God is faithful. And he is not only there with you, but he is there for you. And God wants what's best for you, even in the midst of temptation, even in the midst of when you're distracted. And it says, he will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. Now, there's something that people have said for a lot of years. And maybe you've heard this a time or two. Maybe you've even said it. But a lot of people say, God won't give us any more than we can handle. Anybody ever heard that? Anybody ever said that? Wrong. That's not what Paul says. And in fact, you will not find that anywhere in the biblical narrative. In fact, you will find experientially and circumstantially the exact opposite. We often in life get more than we can handle. Because sometimes it's in life when we get more than we can handle is when we realize how much we need to be in solid, right relationship with God. There were times in the lives of all the biblical characters where they had more than they could handle. Where they felt, and we talked about this in another series just a few weeks ago, when we all feel like Popeye. I've had all I can stand, and I can't stand no more. In life, we will experience more than we can handle. And it is when we experience more than we can handle that our relationship with God and our relationship with one another becomes so vitally important in how we navigate and maneuver through those times. What Paul says is, God will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can stand. Not more than we can handle. God will not allow us to be tempted more than we can stand. And then Paul goes on to the next slide. Paul didn't use slides. We did. When you are tempted. And notice that Paul doesn't say if you are tempted. When you are tempted, because you're going to be tempted. It's just the deal. He will show you a way out so that you can endure. How many of us have ever been faced with a situation, a temptation to make a decision or to choose a behavior or maybe even to demonstrate an attitude where we stood back and said, I really couldn't help it. I didn't really have a choice. Anybody ever said that? When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so you can endure. It's almost as if Paul is saying, when we make a decision to step outside of God's purpose and parameters, it is a choice that we made. That there was a way out. That when we are tempted, God will show us a way out. He doesn't say he might. He could. Maybe. He says he will show you a way out so that you can endure. When we are tempted, when we are distracted, we have an opportunity to make a choice. When you open the internet browser and the ad pops up, the cursor doesn't magically go over to the pop-up and click itself. You have a choice. Maybe the choice is to put a filter on your internet browser so that those things don't pop up. Maybe it's to choose one of the internet monitoring services where when you pop it, it sends a report to an accountability partner that you assigned, and that person calls you and says, hey, what are you doing? Maybe. When you are tempted, because God is faithful and he wants what's best for you, he will show you a way out so that you can endure in the midst of whatever temptation you're experiencing and facing. When I am tempted to be angry, there's a way out. When I am tempted to worry, when I am tempted to wonder about where the next shoe is going to fall, and how the next thing is or isn't going to work out. Because God is faithful, there's a way out. So if God will provide us a way out, what does that kind of begin to look like practically in tangible ways in our lives? Paul goes on to start telling us a little bit about what it looks like. He says, so, my dear friends, flee from the worship of idols. So, my dear friends, flee from the worship of idols. The interesting thing about this is when Paul starts writing what we know as chapter 10, and this probably wasn't broken down into the chapters like we have. This was a letter that he wrote. And so we'll just call chapter 10 page 10 of Paul's letter. So when Paul starts page 10, he's talking to the people about a time in the nation of Israel's history where they had gotten distracted from their relationship with God. And they had turned their attention to other gods, idols, things that they had placed, and they were worshiping those in place of God. And what's really, really interesting is on the ninth page of Paul's letter and a little bit before, what he had been talking about was all the things that God had done for the nation of Israel. How he had delivered them from slavery in Egypt, how he had led them through the wilderness, how he had parted the Red Sea, how he had provided food, how he had provided manna. And he's reminding the people of all these things that God had done. And he's talking about how the nation of Israel was celebrating all of the things that God had done for them when they got distracted, when they turned their attention away from those things, away from God, to other things. And so what he's trying to remind the people in the church of Corinth is that even in the midst of celebrating what God is doing, even in the midst of celebrating how faithful God has been to you as an individual or you as a nation, It's still possible to get distracted. It's still possible to turn your attention from God to other things. And so he tells them, my dear friends, flee. Flee from the worship of idols. It is making an intentional, conscious decision to run away from those things and not put those things in the priority of first place over God. Keep God as a central focus of your life and your relationships with one another. Whatever you do, flee, run, avoid these types of things, putting them in first place in your life. Then Paul goes on to tell us a little bit more. You say, I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. Go ahead. You say, I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. We know this, right? We know. We have the freedom and the choice to make the decisions that we want to make and do what we want to do, right? But not everything we choose to do is good for us. Not everything we choose to do is beneficial for us. In fact, some of the things we choose to do are the exact opposite of those things. Anybody else ever made a decision that was just bad for you? Oh, but it tasted so good, right? How many of you remember, and again, if you're under the age of 102, and this is, I'm squirrel momenting right now, actually. Remember the artist Debbie Boone and the song that she came out back with in like 1841? and the line in the song was, how can it be wrong when it feels I can do anything, but it may not be good or beneficial for me? So maybe sometimes the filter that we need in the decision-making process is to simply ask, is this beneficial for me? Is this good for me long-term or short-term? And if it's not beneficial for me long-term, then maybe I shouldn't do it. If it's not beneficial for me short-term, maybe I shouldn't do it. But it tastes so good and it feels so right. Well, good for you. What if that decision that tasted so good and felt so right in a moment compromises someone else's ability to trust you? What if that decision leads someone else to wonder if you're truly the person of your commitment and your word that you say you are? Is it worth it? What if in that moment, the decision that you make, which tastes so good and feels so right, leads you to have to go and ask forgiveness from someone because of the hurt you caused them in that moment? Is it worth it? Maybe in the moment, we can push pause on our decision long enough to kind of play this decision out in the future a little bit, to determine if it's going to be good for us. And you get about 3 years down the road in the forecasting this decision, which, yeah, I mean, you know, I get it. Sometimes forecasting a decision isn't always an accurate measure, just like the weather, you know. They forecast it 48 hours out, and then 24 hours later they come back and say the weather pattern changed and it shifted north and south, and it hit the I-70 corridor, you know. And when it hits the I-70 corridor, north gets everything, south gets nothing, right? Even though 2 days ago they forecast we were going to get 15 inches of snow. And trying to forecast out decisions sometimes is like that, because something else will happen. And life changes. Life's very fluid. But there are things that you can forecast out and project out into the future of, if I do this, and I don't know. I'm, I pick an example, you know. You can figure it out. If I continue to do this, in 5 to 7 years, it's going to lead to this. And it's just not worth it. It's not good, and it's not beneficial for me. And so therefore, I probably should not do it now to avoid the cost later. Right? You get this, right? Right? And then Paul gives us another little spin on this when he says, don't be concerned for your own good, but for the good of others. In relationships with one another, sometimes it's not just about me. And sometimes in the relationship with one another, sometimes it's not about me at all. And so when we are making these decisions to be done, these distractions that come up and these temptations that come up, maybe you already know this, but did you know that every decision you make affects someone else? Every decision you make affects someone else. But I was alone when I clicked on the button on the pop-up ad and went and then guess what that did? Those images burned in your mind something about what you expect from your spouse or the person that will be your spouse, or and all of a sudden it changes your relationship with them. Because every decision we make affects other people. When we make a decision, we need to determine how that decision is going to affect other people. And again, maybe this is just a me thing, but how many of you have ever been in a situation where you were faced with a decision in a moment? You could respond, react, whatever you wanted to do, and you knew that your reaction was going to hurt somebody, and you said, "I don't care. It's how I want to react. It's what I want to do." And then you do, and the damage gets done. Anybody ever done that? And maybe sometimes the best thing to do is to push pause, to play this out, not just in your future, but in the relationship with those around you. And then when you make your decision, you will have a leg to stand on. Very, very often, these distractions and temptations, which rarely announce themselves, come in an area of life in which we are most vulnerable. For those who struggle with the internet browser temptation, how often does an ad pop up on social media? When you're just scrolling innocently through and all of a sudden there's an ad that pops up for something that tempts you to click. It's harmless until you make the decision, and before you know it, you're distracted. Not just from a relationship with someone else, but maybe you're distracted from your relationship with God. For those of us who anger is a potential distraction, how often does something happen to push your button? And sometimes it's not the big things. Sometimes it's the small things that get done over and over and over. And before you know it, you're distracted and the damage is done. What about people who struggle with insecurity? How often do things happen that, at the very least, open the door for you to wrestle with feelings of insecurity? See, it happens in the areas in which we are most vulnerable. And so the other thing of wisdom in navigating these temptations and distractions in relationship with one another and relationship with God is to identify the areas in which we are most vulnerable. So, two questions for you today, and then we're done. The first one is, where are you vulnerable? What is your area, or what are your areas, because we all have more than one, right? What are your areas of vulnerability? Don't be afraid to identify them. Don't be afraid, to recognize them. And then what safeguards do you need to put in place to keep from being distracted? What safeguards do you need to put in place to keep from being distracted? Let me pray for you as we wrap up our time together. Dear God, thank you for today. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for each and every person who has chosen to spend this time with us, whether in person or online. Thank you for this letter that Paul wrote. Because the reality in all of our lives is that we are tempted. We are distracted. We're all vulnerable in some area. So help each and every one of us to identify those areas and to identify safeguards that we can put in place to keep from being distracted. Thank you for loving us enough to give us a way out in the midst of distractions. Thank you for loving us enough to allow us to have squirrel moments in your ability to pick up the pieces in our lives, but also loving us enough to keep us, to give us a way out, to keep from avoiding the distraction in the first place. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks again for tuning in, and we hope this message helped you take a step in your relationship with God. If you're considering other ways to connect, check out HCC's website, social media, and YouTube channels.